Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources, available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Okay, well, this is part 13, transformation. And you can't change without being transformed. You know, if you change, you get transformation. You can't be transformed without changing. Everything needs to change. The reason God is preparing us is because there are things to come prophetically that he wants us to be ready for. Now, this picture of a prophetic timetable, you know, there are overlapping periods on this thing here. So this, the call to intimacy, it doesn't stop, you see, until Jesus returns. There are many people who have not yet even know Jesus. So he's calling people, and even those who are believers, not necessarily intimate. And so he's calling people to be intimate with him. And in this place here, the things that stop us being intimate, the things that block us fulfilling our purpose and our destiny, God wants to remove. So he wants to remove all the stumbling blocks. And that is why he's releasing the fire of his presence. To burn up, to transform, to purify, to refine our hearts, our lives. You know, and it's not easy. Fire is never easy. Situations that cause us to be challenged so that we will change and grow are never easy. But God brings them to our lives because he can bring good things out of them. He uses those situations to transform us and to change us. And Romans 12:1 is the scripture we've been really using through the whole series. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's only because God loves us, that Jesus died for us, that he's provided a way for us that we can change. And by that mercy, we can present ourselves. We present our bodies, our lives to God. That's our choice. Everyone has a choice whether they will or will not present themselves to God. But God is giving further revelation on what it means to present ourselves so our bodies can be a living and holy sacrifice, because sacrifices are made on altars. There are no earthly altars anymore. But there are heavenly altars, and God is inviting us to come into his presence, into the realm of his glory, so we can present ourselves there, so he can transform and change us, so that we do not need to be conformed to this world. That's why we need to be living in the realms of heaven, so that we don't have to live under the authority of the rule of this world. We need to bring heaven to earth through our lives, so that we can be transformed. That word transformed, metamorphosis, metamorphosed, changed completely from one thing to another by the renewing of our minds. So our hearts will be dealt with and renewed and changed in the end, so that we'll know what the will of God is for our life. So we will know what our destiny is, what God ordained in eternity past, when we were a spiritual being apart from this world. God ordained our destiny, and he wants us to find it and work it out. And in that process, Hebrews 4:12, it's the living word of God. It's living and it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is our relationship with Jesus, not just the Bible. He is the living word. And therefore he wants us to have a living relationship with him, in which in that relationship he will be able to transform our lives by separating those things of our soul and our spirit, showing us what's of him, what isn't. Of the joints and the marrow, right down to the very genetic and things of our life, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the motives that are in us because of unmet needs, unresolved issues, unforgiven things, because they're in our lives. They motivate and drive us. And God, over this series, we've been seeing that God wants to separate those things to show us so he can change us, transform us, and move us forward. Transgression or deliberate sins are cleansed and forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Our sin nature dies through the cross or baptism into the death of Jesus. Iniquity is dealt with through repentance and through judgment in the courts of heaven. Our bloodline generational activity needs to be dealt with. Because things from our generational past are visited on generation after generation after generation. So there are things that our forefathers did that still affect us today. Some of those at work in patterns of sin, patterns of bondage, some of them in sickness and different things like that are passed on from generation to generation. And some of those things operate through our seed line, our genetic, where there have been mutations as a result of iniquity and as a result of interbreeding into things. We'll look at that next time, hopefully. Our inheritance is spiritual and physical. It's not just one or the other, it's both. We have an inheritance which is spiritual, in which we become spiritually born again and become sons of the living God, and that gives us access into the heavenly realms, but that needs to be outworked here physically in this realm. It's no point being so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. But actually it's no point being so earthly that you've got no spiritual authority and power. We need both. Jesus lived in those dual realms of heaven and earth. He saw what the Father was doing. He was able to have a relationship which with heaven was flowing through him. So we need both. So our physical inheritance is our destiny here on earth, and that involves our sphere of influence and the things that God has called us to do. And we're all different. We've all got different things and different parts to play in God's kingdom. We're all individual. We're all unique. We've all got an individual destiny. But that destiny is to bring the rule of God. God called Adam to subdue the earth and rule over it, to bring heaven to earth so that earth would reflect what it is in heaven. If we don't know what it looks like in heaven, we're never going to be able to reflect it here on earth. And God comes and occupies something on earth that looks like him in heaven. Hence our body, soul and spirit looks like him, Father, Son and Spirit. He wants to come and occupy it. Originally we were a spiritual being from eternity, and we will go back to eternity. Our spirit will never die. But it wasn't just that there was a spirit being. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living being. And Adam was not a living being like we are today. Because as a result of sin, Adam became a human being. Now we're all human beings today, but God wants us to transform us back into being living beings. What it is to know the breath and the life of God flowing through us in the image of God, so that our whole life can reflect heaven on earth. So that we could become a godlike being, made and transformed into the image of Jesus. See, Adam was sinless, but he wasn't perfected. He still had things to learn, and if he hadn't sinned, he would have still had to have grown into the image of Jesus. And that would have been in lots of different ways. I haven't got time to go down that one today. Promised land is an illustration of our inheritance, our physical and spiritual inheritance. And the Bible, it says in the New Testament, was written, the examples of the children of Israel in the promised land was written for our examples so that we could learn from them. And so we need to understand that that illustration is something that we can apply to our lives today. Genesis 15:18 was when God made a covenant with Abraham, and in that covenant with Abraham, he promised that his descendants would have a particular inheritance. And he said that in Genesis 15:18 there, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river Euphrates, and then he gave these illustration of all these Ite nations. The Kenite, Kenizzite, Kadmonite, Hittite, Perizzite, the Rephaim, which are not Ites, but giants, races of giants, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. Lots of Ites. Lots and lots and lots of Ites. Now the reality was, those nations or people groups occupied what was their inheritance. Now they weren't just going to walk out and empty the land so that they could walk in. They were going to have to go and take possession of the land, because there were things occupying the land that needed dispossessing. So if we want to inhabit and become completely whole, spirit, soul and body, we have to deal with those ites that represent things in our lives that are hindering and blocking and stopping God's kingdom and his fullness of his provision for us. So we have to deal with those things. And we have to deal with the giants also that occupied the land. Deuteronomy 20:16 It says, only in the cities of these people that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes. See, we cannot afford to leave behind in our life, have any little strongholds or little pockets of resistance that the enemy can have. No familiar spirits, no little pockets of sin, no little things that the enemy can use to rob us of our inheritance. You shall utterly destroy them. And it goes on again to talk about all those ites. You have to destroy those things in your life. Those things that have come from the past. Those things that are generational. Those things that get outworked in us because of the past. We have to destroy them. Why? So that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things. See, anything of the enemy that's in our lives will cause us to do things which are totally opposed to God's purposes and his kingdom. Sin, as an example. Detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would not sin against the Lord your God. See, all those things are associated with idolatry and worship of things which are not God. And those can be material things, can be lots of different things that we can have and our families and generations have got involved in, which now can come and visit us if we don't deal with them. Numbers 13:22, again, talks about what was in the land when they were going to come and inherit it. So they sent 12 spies in to see out the land of promise to see, well, what's in there and how are we going to take it? And so, first of all, they found they were descendants of Anak. Anak was a Nephilim. He was a giant. So they were descendants of giants living in what was their inheritance. Now, we have giants in our lives. Things which intimidate us and frighten us and stop us fulfilling the purpose of God. Then they came to the valley of Eshkol and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two men and some of the pomegranates and the figs. There were bunches of grapes that they needed to put on a pole and carry between two men in that land. Strange, isn't it? Why? Because they were giants and they needed to eat a lot of giant food. Where did they get that giant food from? Manipulation. Genetic manipulation. So giants and genetic manipulation went on in the land. Think of the land and think of your life. What are the things that have operated in your life that we need to deal with and get rid of? And as a result of that, this is what the children of Israel did. They got up to look in there, and in Numbers 13:27, all those spies came back and 10 of them said this, we went into the land where you sent us, and certainly it does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, they're all there. So all of a sudden it was like, here's the possible potential that God has promised, but all this stuff in the way. What are you going to do? Just because there are strongholds and strong things in our life, just because there are giants and the effects of these nations, is that going to stop God's inheritance being fulfilled in us? Only if we allow it to. Because that's what they did. Verse 31, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people for they're too strong for us. Who told them they were too strong? The land, though, which we have gone in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. Who said that? The whole load of stuff suddenly starts to appear when you get challenged to go and possess the land. And so many things come into our mind and thoughts that try and oppose us, stop us, hinder us, cause us to fear, rather than believing what God said and in faith acting on it. So many people will turn and say, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You've not got enough about you. But what God says is, yes, you can. They also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. Faced with the opposition, if you look at the problems rather than the solution, the problems are always bigger. If you look at the solution, the problems are always smaller. When we look at our lives, are we looking at the problems? Are we looking at the solution? God's word says we should take the land. And this is what, in Numbers 14:8, this is what it says there. If the Lord is pleased with us, and this is now, two of the spies had a different way of thinking. They looked at what God said, and they put their trust in what God said. They weren't bothered about the giants. They weren't bothered about all the nations. They weren't bothered about the walled cities. They weren't bothered about it because they put their trust in God, who they believed would give them what he promised. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's what God says. You can change. You can be transformed. You can have your inheritance, physical and spiritual, but you're only going to have it if you put your trust in God and do it his way. If you try and do it your own way, if you listen to all the obstacles and all the objections and all the things that says you can't do it, you'll never inherit. But if you listen to God and what he says, who you are as his children are destined to inherit heaven and earth. And then it goes on in that chapter in verse 21, indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. That is God's promise, and he will fulfill it. Whether he uses us or another generation, he will fulfill that promise. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, the manifestation of his presence. He wants to manifest his presence through his people. So his people will fill the earth with his presence. So they weren't going to be contained in a small piece of land in the Middle East. When they took that land, what they should have done is then gone to take the whole world, because the whole world was Abraham's inheritance. But they didn't. But we will, if we don't rebel, and if we trust in God and don't let us be robbed by the things that the enemy would bring against us. Now they came up to the promised land, and there was a big river in flood. But God opened up the river, and they passed across into that land. God is opening up heaven today so that we can enter into our spiritual inheritance, so that we can engage in our physical inheritance more effectively. But they had to deal with stuff. And this is what happened. Verse 8, Joshua 5. When they had finished circumcising all the nation, circumcision had to take place, which was the covenant promised thing that they needed to do. Because they didn't do that for 40 years in the wilderness. Because that whole generation who said, we can't go in, died. Only two from a whole generation survived. Joshua and Caleb. All the others under the age of 20 lived. So when they came to the promised land, there were a whole load of people up to 58. Everyone else other than Joshua and Caleb, who were older, none of them were older than 58. And some of them were just born. So there was a whole spread of people who were going to go in and possess the land. But they had to be circumcised, and they had to wait until they were healed. And God is circumcising us today. Our circumcising, not the physical flesh, but our hearts. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Egypt is where they lived in bondage to slavery and to sin. They were in bondage there. Egypt represents our old life before we were Christians. It represents our past generational life. It represents our past seed life, everything. But when we allow God to circumcise our hearts, he can roll away, in other words, remove all the reproach of our past. And not just our past, but our generational past as well. Colossians 2:11 talks about that in the New Testament. In him you are also circumcised. When we become Christians, there's an opportunity for God to deal with our hearts. With the circumcision made without hands. In other words, it's not a physical one. In the removal of the old nature by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him up from the dead. Because he raised Jesus from the dead, we can have a new life. A new life in a new inheritance with all the old stuff being cut away and dealt with so that we can be transformed into who we really should be, who God called us to be. Isaiah 61:4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. See, that's not just talking about a physical thing. It's talking about the spiritual rebuilding of our lives, the ancient things back into eternity that God had for us. They will raise up those things that would have been devastated by the enemy and sin. They will repair the ruined cities, the things that have been broken down, the desolation of many generations. Isaiah 58:12. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. See, we tend to read these scriptures and think, oh, well, it's just talking about physical things. This is talking about our spiritual inheritance as well as our physical one. And you will be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. God wants us to dwell in him. He wants us to live in his presence, as inhabitants of God and habitation of God. But there has to be restoration and stuff that takes place in our lives. This process of restoration, repairing, renewing, operates at all levels, spirit, soul, and body. Our inheritance is the authority in the spiritual realm that releases glory in the physical realm. Romans 8:19, and this says the width of this. For the anxious longing of the creation, that is everything in this physical and spiritual sphere. Because God didn't just create the earth, he created the heavens and the earth. So the whole of the heavens are waiting for who? For us. Waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. True sons, joint heirs with Christ in our fullness of our inheritance. For the creation was subjected to futility because of sin, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. The whole of creation is waiting for the hope that God's children will rise up. We were singing it this morning. Are we going to rise up? Are we going to go into the whole world and take the good news of Jesus and see it transformed? One person at a time. That hope is that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption, which means death. Everything in this whole universe is spiraling down into death. The second law of thermodynamics. Everything goes to entropy, falls down. But the reality is, this whole creation can be set free from that slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See, God does not want his glory to remain in heaven. He wants his glory to manifest through our lives, that we would shine and radiate that glory of God's presence within us, through us and around us into the world. But to do that, we need to get our physical and spiritual inheritance. Psalm 24:7 talks about our spiritual inheritance. Lift up your heads. Heads is talking about symbols of authority. So each of us in this room has authority. We are called to be a head and not a tail. We're called to rule in our individual spheres. O gates. A gate is an access point, a place of transaction. So if we're lifted up into a place of authority, we become gates for what? The King of Glory, to come through into this world through our lives. But in the middle is something else. Be lifted up, O ancient doors. So if we're lifted up as heads to become gateways from heaven to earth, the ancient doors also get lifted up, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The ancient doors are where the glory of God comes from heaven to earth. Whenever there's a revival, and we call an outpouring of the Spirit, an everlasting door, everlasting doors are open. Problem is, the enemy keeps shutting them. Because we get in the way, we mess up, Because we let our flesh and all the natural things get in the way of it. So we're called to be raised up into a place of spiritual authority in the heavens to open things up. So those everlasting doors are access points for heaven to invade earth through our lives and around our lives in our spheres of influence. And in this picture, these are the realms of heaven. We start off in the realm of his presence, which is here, the kingdom of earth. And that kingdom of earth is not just talking about the physical. It's also the spiritual realm around us. But we need to be spirit beings operating in the realm of God's government in the kingdom of God. And living beings, eventually God-like beings, and into more things. There is a progression that we need to access in the heavens. That's another way of picturing it. And we've seen that as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, we go through these different realms in the heavens by surrender and yielding. You don't fight your way in there. You go by being a living sacrifice. And we've seen that there are different stages of being a living sacrifice. We've got time to go into all that now, but we've gone through it. So all these areas, once we've got access through here, then we can have access up through there and then down through here. Another picture of it here. We have between here, the government of God, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the earth, the atmosphere of the earth. And in the atmosphere of the earth, there are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. They are demonic beings, fallen angels, who occupy this atmosphere to block anything from God's heaven coming down to earth. So in the middle of that, you have the everlasting doors, which we need to see open to deal with these things so that we can get those things out of the way and have an open access of heaven manifesting on earth to see all the healing. Jesus' ministry was just the beginning, not the end. It was just the first reign. There's a latter reign that's coming. He was the first fruit, and there is going to be a fulfillment coming. But we have to start to take our place in these realms to bring heaven to earth. Another way of looking at it, okay, is the earth, is the atmosphere of the earth, and here above that is the kingdom of God. Just one in this realm, just one of those layers, the kingdom of God realm, there are everlasting doors. Another way of putting it says the windows of heaven. Another biblical description of what it is to open up heaven and pour out a blessing on earth. Above that, there are false kings, or the ites nations, that seek to block those things. They are spiritual beings. Above that, there is a level of thrones on mountains, which are our spheres of authority. Those are blocked by dragons, which are serpent seed. Above that, there's another layer of thrones, which are blocked by giants, which are Nephilim seed. Above that, there is a throne which we're supposed to rule on to rule all the others. Now, you can think of that as our spiritual inheritance. That is where we engage in the heavens. But looking there, you might think, I'm not sure I really want to go after a whole lot of kings, dragons, and giants. Well, that's your choice. But if you want to bring the rule of God, you have to deal with those things in that realm of heaven. But also, our lives are patterned after heaven. So, if we think of it also in this way, there is the world, there is our spirit, soul, and body. If we start to let our spirit bring the kingdom of God and rule, it will change our soul and bring our body as an everlasting door to manifest the kingdom of glory of God on earth into the world. So we become a mini pattern of heaven. But you have to do both. It's no good trying to have spirit, soul, and body to access the world unless we have the spiritual authority operating up here. So we have to deal with those things in our lives, and we have to deal with those things in the realm of heaven. So we have to access heaven to deal with those nations and the dragons and the giants. Now, some of you have fought dragons and giants, and you've dealt with them in some of the spheres of kingdom authority you have. Some of you are thinking, this is really bizarre and weird. But there are spirit. This is a spiritual realm. And in those spiritual realm, there are spiritual things. And in this realm of the kingdom of God, the enemy has had access because none of us have gone in there and taken possession of our spiritual inheritance. We've stayed on this side of the River Jordan, if you like, afraid to access heaven because we're afraid of going into the realm of the presence of God. Because religious things have said you can't go there, and if you did, you'd die. So we don't want to go there because we're afraid. But God is opening up that realm to show us the fullness of our spiritual authority in these days. So we need to take these things and deal with them in our lives, but also deal with them in those realms. So once we've dealt with them here, it's easier to deal with them there. But on the flip side, I went and dealt with them there, and it made it easier to deal with them here. No matter which way you do it. The main thing, we need spiritual and physical inheritance. Our bloodline and our seed line iniquity enables the enemy to occupy our mountain thrones in our lives and in the kingdom of God and the heavenly realms and block those everlasting doors. Dragons, a serpent seed which came from Cain. Giants are Nephilim seed which come from angels. False kings are the Ite nations which come from Ham, Noah's son. Familiar and familial spirits operate through these things. And we'll look at the whole genetic side of that next time I speak. Ham's generational line. His son, lots of them, Genesis 10:6. One of them was Cush. Cush became the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty one. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Tower of Babel, ring any bells? So Ham produced Nimrod, and that produced the Tower of Babel, and Babylon, which has been in opposition to God's kingdom all along. Genesis 10:15, Canaan was Ham's son, who was cursed by Noah, and there became all the Jebusite, Amorite, all of them, all the Ites. And eventually, Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Sexual perversity at the highest level. Because Ham started off with sexual perversion, and it went through all those nations. Genesis 9:24. Noah awoke from his wine. He knew his youngest son had done to him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan. Cursed the generations." Sexual perversity, and we saw all those things coming from that generational line. Now, their gods of the Canaanites and the goddesses were engaged in all kinds of sexual things. Incest, bestiality, worshippers of deities engaged in ritual prostitution, infant sacrifice, and so many other deviant things. Hence, that's why they needed to be wiped out. Because they were impure genetically and they were operating in some pretty bad stuff. And those gods, Baal, Chemosh, Milcom, Molech, Dagon, Asherah, or Astarte, they were all the names of the gods, but they were all basically just demonic beings that they were worshipping in an idolatry because of sin. And you think, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, actually, we all came from Noah's sons. Three of them. So I don't know where you came from, but when I asked God to show me, I saw a lot of stuff in my past general lines where I came from, which when I looked at my own life and the struggles of my father and their generation, I saw some of this stuff, and God gave me revelation of some of the things I needed to deal with in my own life. And some of them weren't operating, but a lot of things lie dormant, ready for the enemy to spring them into life at the most inopportune times. If we don't deal with them and they're still there, they can affect us in the future. That's why we've got to wipe them out completely and destroy them utterly in our lives. Genesis 15:16, then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Ammonite is not yet complete. There was this fourth generation. Remember, sins of the fathers visited on the third, fourth generation. So when the fourth generation was complete, they were ready to be destroyed. And God is basically saying that we need to destroy those things so that our future generations will not be affected by the past. Abraham was promised all the blessings in that territory, but only after four generations. Now God is bringing us to that point where this stuff is about to be fulfilled now. Joshua is instructed to destroy all the Ites nations to stop the iniquity continuing. Joshua and Caleb were the only representatives of that fourth generation who remained in covenant relationship with God. And they were giant killers and king killers and city stronghold takers. That is our inheritance. To take back, to kill the giants, to take back the strongholds and destroy the kings. Now, just to give you an example of if you do not deal with them, how long this can continue in a family line. In 1 Samuel 15, God commands Israel to utterly destroy and not spare the Amalekites. Seems pretty nasty thing to do. But who were the Amalekites? They were Israel's enemy from day one. As soon as they crossed over into the desert out of Egypt, that was where the battle with the Amalekites was. Remember the battle where Moses had his arms kept up by two guys? That was the Amalekites. They immediately tried to oppose the inheritance that the children of Israel had. And they carried on right through the generations. For nearly 1,000 years, those Amalekites dogged and threatened Israel. Saul tried to wipe them out. And Samuel eventually killed King Agag, who was the king of the Amalekites. And yet, even after that, they show up again in 1 Samuel 28, 1 Samuel 31 to 18, again. And eventually, you find that during the Persian king Xerxes' time, Haman was an Agagite, who tried to destroy the whole nation, which God raised up Ruth and said, you have been raised up for a time such as this to destroy that whole thing. If we don't destroy those things in our lives, they will seek to destroy us and continue to plague us and our generation. That's why these things can last thousands of years if we don't deal with them. They were repeatedly hostile. Another example would be Joshua 15:63. Now the Jebusites, they inhabited Jerusalem. Now the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites lived with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. That was the day they were talking about in that day. So they lived alongside the enemy. You cannot live alongside the enemy and think you're going to prosper fully. You have to deal with the enemy. It took 4 generations until David destroyed the Jebusites and took Jerusalem. And it says in 1 Chronicles 11, David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, and the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is Jerusalem. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore, it was called the City of David. See, until you get rid of the area and the territory that the enemy has in your life, you will never be completely whole and never be fully able to manifest the kingdom of God. David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him, but only when he actually took his inheritance, which was Jerusalem. If he didn't get rid of the Jebusites, there would have been no inheritance in Jerusalem, and therefore the kingdom would not have grown and multiplied. So he had to deal with it. I encourage you, look at the things that are operating in your life so that you can deal with them. Giants, Joshua and Caleb, 4th generation giant killers. David, 4th generation giant killer, killed Goliath. To occupy our full inheritance, we have to kill the giants and the kings of our bloodline, things that are robbing and blocking our inheritance. The ites. Kings represent enemy activity, familiar spirits, sinful, iniquitous behavior, patterns in our lives. Our inheritance can be blocked by those things in our bloodline. Patterns of repetitive sin, negative influences. Those things can be hidden. That's why we've got to say to God, Psalm 139, search me thoroughly, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful or wicked way in me. Those are the things that we're asking God to show us. Are there things in me from my bloodline which are wicked and that God will use? If he comes here, he'll lead us in the everlasting way if we deal with those things. God will deal with them if we ask him, but we've got to be willing. Now, Ian Clayton came up with a whole list, and I'm just going to give you the list. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give you the list of the nations and their effects. These were the nations and the effects there. The Hittite, dread and fear, the Amorite, giants, obstacles, Canaanites, false prosperity, Perizzite, license, Hivites, snakes, Jebusites, false oppressors. Now, he also, it's this stuff about the kings and the cities that must be destroyed in our lives. And I'm not going to go into this in depth. I'm just going to give you them now, and you can look at your own life and see, is any of these things affecting me and blocking the everlasting doors of God's glory? King of Jericho. All these are found in Joshua chapter 12. King of Jericho, king of the false Holy Spirit. King of Ai, king of twisted perversive sins. King of Jerusalem, king of bitter waters. King of, whoever that is, king of the false accuser. King of Hebron, king of the compromise with wizards and charmers. See, some family lines have that stuff in. Spiritualism. Wizards, witchcraft, that type of stuff. Why? Because some family lines, because of the stuff that goes back in these generations. King of Hoham, great multitude of problems. Some families have problem after problem after problem. We call them curses. They can come through this stuff. King of Jarmuth, the king of the high and haughty pride. King of Purim, king of bestiality, wild, acting like an animal, fierce and stubborn. King of Lachish, king of obstinate, hardened, stubborn sins. Anyone got any of those? King of Japhia, king of false Christ, bright, false light. Some things are into all sorts of stuff. There's a whole load here. King of Eglon, false prosperity, like a calf and a bullet, which is an idol. King of Debir, false prophet, false words about God. King of Gezer, king of the ambushes, hard, high places to reach. See, some of these things, I can't go into what they all mean, but I encourage you to look at it and see, does this apply to me? Have this happened in my family? King of Horam, king of religious spirits. Whole families are plagued with religious spirits. King of Gedar, king of strongholds against God. King of Horma, king of suicide, secluded religious cults devoted to death. That's what these things come from. King of Arad, king of lasciviousness, wild, uncivilized, and out of control. Some families are like that. King of Libna, king of false reputation, self-justification, I'm okay. King of Adullam, king of Moab, justice, violence, rioting. King of Makeda, the king of the false shepherds, false church leaders. King of Bethel, king of false churches and houses of God. King of Taupa, king of forbidden fruit, apple orchards. King of Hepher, king of depression, a pit or well of shame and reproach. Some families just have it, operate in. Look to see if these things are the things that are blocking your inheritance. King of Aphek, king of entrenched strongholds or sins you're holding on to. King of Lasharon, the king of the false rose of Sharon. See, a lot of these things operate and bring things into our lives that are hindrances. King of Madon, king of fighting and arguments. Some families just like that. King of Hazor, king of problems as big as a castle. Some things are just like that in families. Always got massive obstacles. King of Shimron, Meron, king of rebellious, filthy taskmasters. King of, I don't know that one is. King of satanic wizards and sorcerers. King of Tanakh, king of wanderlust and walking blindly. King of Medigo, king of mutilation and self-inflicted wounds. King of Kadesh, king of the false holiness. King of Jokneam of Carmel, the king of false repenting and sorrow. Last lot, the king of Dor, the coast of Dor, the king of rebellion. King of the nations of Gilgal, false liberty, grace to sin. King of Tirzah, the king of selfishness and idolatry. All these things, and I know I've given you a really quick list, I encourage you, go back and look at it and ask God to show me, are these things affecting my life in any way from the past which are hindering and opening up the everlasting doors of God's blessing, and therefore give access to those things in the heavenly realms, as well as the things that can operate in our own life. How do we deal with them? Same as we did last week. Repent of my sinful behaviors. Identify patterns of iniquity represented by those ites or nations or kings. Forgive our ancestors. Access the mobile court of God. Identification, you accept the accusations. Repent for the sin of your generations. And receive a mandate of divorce to separate you from the effects of those things now, so that the everlasting doors can be open in your life, that you get your spiritual inheritance and your physical inheritance, and that we're transformed and changed so that nothing in our life is going to rob us of the fulfillment of God's promises for us. All the things that we're called to do and who we are called to be, the enemy through our families and past generations will seek to rob us. Ask God to show you. Search my heart, O God. Show me if I'm affected by any of those things or any other things he might show you, and be willing to deal with them. Don't be fearful and don't be rebellious and don't say, oh, they're all too much, I can't be bothered, or it's too hard, or isn't this all really complicated, I really can't be bothered with it. Reality is, is anyone here living in the fullness of their inheritance in Christ? No. So there's a reason why. Because we've never dealt with any of this stuff. So let's deal with it and let's get God's glory manifested in us and through us in the world around us to change and transform it so that the earth will be filled with the glory of God. That God's glory will fill the earth through his people who are transformed and purified and refined and more like Jesus than we've ever been like him before. Amen.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.